We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And we're presented by Chafin Lujana Injury Law Firm, doing good by doing right. In 20 minutes, Steelers fans have asked Steelers insiders about a backup quarterback who's on the trade block, and we have those answers. They're very interesting and very funny, actually. Right now, Evan Drellich from The Athletic, baseball insider, he does a great job. Yeah, he with Ken Rosenthal has unearthed a lot of what's going on behind the scenes between the players' union and the league itself, and they've put it out there on The Athletic, which has been really eye-opening and the cause of a lot of discussion. It's fostered a lot of conversation here on this station and many others. Evan, the tone of this whole negotiation just seems so negative to me. Like, it's very difficult from my perspective to be optimistic about the players and the owners getting a deal done. Is that sentiment fair, in your opinion?
Well, the rhetoric that you've had out there is going to color it that way, but there are a few things to remember. One, they've been chirping at each other in different contexts for a while. There is a backdrop here that of distrust between both sides, issues like service time and tanking and simply the perception that the teams have done better in recent collective bargaining agreements. These aren't sides that like each other. This is something of a negotiation. You're going to have posturing and people trying to establish leverage for themselves. But what's to remember is they have a little bit of time to play with. You want spring training in June. They want a regular season in July. They can probably drag the economics talk into the start of June.
Evan, can you give me some clarity and hopefully an answer on this? And if you can't, well, it's been one of the most shrouded, seemingly mysterious things of all. When these two sides met in March, was there any sort of signed agreement and understanding between the Players Association and the league that if games were being played, were going to be played in front of empty stadiums, that they would need to revisit how players would be paid, prorated versus a revenue split? Because I still feel like I cannot get a definitive handle on what was established and when, if anything.
All right, I'll try to lay this out. The 17-page agreement in March, there are different parts in this agreement.
Mm-hmm.
There is a part in that agreement about player compensation. That's where the prorated salaries come into play. The first part of the agreement is called resumption of play, and it lays out three things that would need to be done for the game to return, unless the commissioner should otherwise. So it's giving the commissioner power. And one of the three things that it says is that the parties, quote, will discuss in good faith the economic feasibility of playing games in the absence of spectators or at appropriate substitute neutral sites. So the deal, this is where the whole argument comes in. What does that mean? Does that mean that that was put in there just so that the teams wouldn't feel like they had to play, that they were forced to play? Was it put in there because they wanted to renegotiate compensation down the road? To my non-lawyer reading, it is not the most specific wording that could have been in there. But all this dancing around it doesn't really defeat the bottom line, which is this. The owners don't have to play. And there is a player compensation outline that already exists. So they can sit there and yell at each other that same thing over and over, or they can talk and see if there is a way such that they can find the common ground. The problem with the common ground approach, at least from a player perspective, is it kind of suggests that they should give something back. They just need a resolution, whatever that resolution looks like, give something back or not.
Evan Drellich, MLB insider from The Athletic, joining us here on 93.7 The Fan. Breaking news on our in our end of the world here, where we are, Evan, that the Pirates furloughed a bunch of employees today. Is that a bad omen? Should we read into that at all? Is that any kind of harbinger that baseball won't get played?
No. Well, if you were of a particularly cynical mindset, there are some baseball industry employees who wonder if some of the cuts are coming at a particularly well-timed point, where they lock in cuts ahead of the sports return. In some situations, I don't know specifically on the Pirates, if indeed once the game returns, or if it does return, if they would return immediately to their full salaries, or it would have to wait. It's reflective of what's going on in the industry. Certainly the owners would tell you it's reflective of the financial struggles they are having at the moment, you know, how much every individual person buys into that. And clearly the players union wants more evidence that they are suffering before they take a pay cut. But, you know, it is a part of the game that's not often talked about, but there are employees in this sport other than players who don't have their leverage and who do suffer in these moments.
Evan, in net terms, is what's happening right now with baseball, is it going to, in your mind, make any upcoming CBA negotiations, because correct me if I'm wrong, it runs out after the 2021 season, is it going to make them more or less acrimonious in your reading of the situation?
Well, the answer to that might depend on how it plays out for both sides here and what happens in the near future. The next CBA could be colored by forces outside of their control. You know, let's say they get to an agreement and the season restarts, where they have to cancel after 40 games. You know, heaven forbid the 2021 season is interrupted as well. The economic impact on the sport broadly is going to impact the CBA, such that you wonder if even they would consider an extension and say, let's wait till the world returns to something of normalcy or closer to normalcy before entering a five-year agreement to govern the economics of the sport going forward. But the potential for either this negotiation, the current landscape, a lot has changed, and it was already going to be a contentious negotiation. So I don't think it helps, put it that way.
Evan Drellich, MLB insider, The Athletic, joining us. Do you think that either side, the players or the owners, Evan, have a sense of urgency in so far as if we can't get this done and we don't play this year because of economic reasons, the blowback, the consequences for that are going to be wide-reaching, and that's going to really do damage long-term to baseball. Do you think both sides grasp that concept?
I think they do. Ultimately, I think both sides would tell you they feel incentivized to play, where it can be a little hard to make a connection between the two or between that thinking on one side is right now ownership is saying it is not worth it for us to play unless the players take a pay cut, that literally they would lose more money per game than they would make is the owner argument right now. But the union does not agree with that. That's, again, why they've requested financial documents to support the underlying assertions that MLB is putting out there. Overall, the health of the sport, free agency in the future, keeping people's attention. Look at all the attention the Michael Jordan documentary got, right? You want to be on TV right now. You want to be there for people. If you can do it safely. So most people would argue you need baseball back immediately, but there's this kind of weird caveat to that where the owners are saying not at this cost right now.
Evan, do you think that memo that you reported about with the no spitting and the no showering, and we've had the Pirates manager come on and kind of laugh at that and scoff at that premise of not being able to shower and those things, do you think that will literally get used? Where are we at in terms of players and ownership trying to figure out what they'll be allowed to do and not allowed to do if they do play?
So the MLBPA today, this is relatively breaking news, if we have that without games here. The MLBPA today delivered its response to Major League Baseball, sent back a wide-ranging set of notes. Wide-ranging is what the union called it. And that includes notes on testing frequency, protocols for positive tests, in-stadium medical personnel, the protections for high-risk players and families, access to pre- and post-game therapy. So that's talking about like the hydrotherapies and the tubs that they use, and also the sanitation protocol. So the sanitization. The league is waiting for responses and may have already received some responses from teams as well. So that first document was a draft. They get the union response, they're going to get the team's response, and they'll eventually hammer out something more final. But yeah, the players are already pushing back, to answer your question.
Evan, the one thing I would wonder about the safety protocols and the players pushing back is I almost feel like in the court of public opinion, if they, and I think it's reasonable to want some of the therapeutic things that maybe the players feel and legitimately do prevent injuries and help kind of bodily maintenance. It feels like if the players push back on the safety stuff, that's going to further weaken them with a public that already seems, by my reckoning, to be pretty aligned against them in this whole situation.
You know, I think the public is a different public than it was 25 years ago when you had the strike. I detect – it kind of depends what you're listening to and what you're watching and viewing. I detect more player sympathies than I think some people realize. In this instance, I think there's an understanding or I might even hope there's an understanding that you're asking people to relearn a lot of what they're doing. If something has to be done for their health, and they were to buck against it, that's a problem. The heart of the argument here is going to end up being, what do they need to do, and what is overkill? You know, what things in here could they, like the showering thing, for instance? Could it be that you allow three guys in a shower rather than the current or the original proposal, which said no showering at the stadium? You got to go back to the hotel. I don't think in the end the money or the health proposals are going to be what hold up the sport. I think it's going to be a question of whether everybody actually stays healthy once the sport resumes, but I don't think that'll be a fault of the protocols necessarily.
Does Major League Baseball almost assume, and I enjoyed your write-up of the health and safety protocols, do they assume that there are going to be positive tests at some point, or do the experts think that it's inevitable, no matter what the league does, to try to safeguard players and safeguard itself, really?
So my colleagues at The Athletic, Andy McCullough and Mark Carrig, had a good story today talking to different experts and infectious disease people. And the sentiment, there's a direct quote in there, to the effect of, yeah, somebody's going to eventually get it. So, and again, that's part of the response that the union has already sent back here. If the league and the union, if anybody involved in sport, or really in your daily life, right, inside of your own industry, everyone's going to be touched by this in some way, indirectly or directly. When you have this many bodies, physically the number of people involved in putting on baseball, it's just a numbers game. You have to prepare for it. And when we talk about kind of the important parts of those health protocols, maybe things that are a little bit more frivolous, that would seem to me to be at the core of it and something that might bring on a greater fight than, you know, whatever, who holds a baseball? Do you have to have your own individual baseball in the bullpen, you know, if you're showing somebody a grip?
Evan, lastly, and I like asking any baseball insiders this because it really cuts to the core of all the financial issues. The players are adamantly against it. The owners clearly want it. Do you think at any point in baseball's even semi-distant, like sometime this decade future, that this sport is going to have a salary cap implemented?
No, the players will will not go for it. And that's been very clear, even in the reporting we've done in recent weeks, as MLB wanted to put in a 50-50 revenue sharing system and has yet to officially propose it. And the union, in quotes to us at The Athletic, shot it down right away because it's something they fought against for a long time. It was the reason we had the 94-95 strike. So I guess anything is possible, but it would take a drastic change of heart and I would wager a change of leadership. I can't see the union under this leadership group making that choice.
Evan Drellich, MLB insider at The Athletic. We appreciate the time and the insights, Evan. Thank you.
You guys got it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.